that wasn't my fault. That just happened. My. I know what you was talking about, Brother Clark. It's a lot of people here. But you know, the thing is, and I take this very seriously, I can talk about anything. You want to talk about guns? You get Brother Jerry and I together, we can talk about guns. You want to talk about fishing? Hey, I can handle that. As I've grown older, I realize all the more that when you stand with this book in your hand, that's an awesome responsibility. I am thankful for the privilege to be here. I have enjoyed myself. I have one complaint. I do not like the motel. It's too close to the discount mall. Got your attention, didn't I? The first thing my wife said is, "Look!" I was looking for the motel, and she was looking. But that was good. She saved me a lot of money, and I'm certainly thankful. I think my tires can handle it on the way back home. Truly, it has been a great week. Amen. Great preaching, good spirit, sweet fellowship. And I tell you, I've gotten to know Brother Dan and his wife. We've learned to love them as brother and sister in Christ. And I can say this, I am thankful for them that God brought this church and them together. Based upon what I've seen, it's a great match. And God knew that in advance, didn't he? But you know, tonight, with all of the good preaching that we've heard, the beautiful singing, this is the last sermon. We're going back out into the world after we leave. We're going back out into the world, and it's one thing to hear the preaching. It's one thing to believe the doctrine. But when you go back out in the world, it's not enough to know it. We have to apply it and live it in our lives. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verses 8 through 14. I've got a lot of verses in my outlines, and they're typed, and I do that so I can read it for expediency, because I want to deal with several things tonight, and I want to be able to read the verses, and then if you would like, you can write the notes down. As I've said before, I'll give you my outline when I get through with it. But I want you to look at First Philippians chapter 1, verses 8 through 14, and listen to these words carefully. There's a lot of words in this passage, and I'm going to take my text from these verses. It says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." But look in verse 12. This will be our text. "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Now let me stop and pause before I finish reading the rest. Anything that comes in your life will change you. Everything that comes into your life will either make you better or bitter. But anything that comes into your life will change you. It is going to have an impact, no matter how insignificant it may seem. But when things come into your life, it will permanently make a difference in your life. Now, I may repeat myself later, but it's not the things that come into our life that hurts us. I want to repeat that. You say, "But you don't know what's come through my life." You don't know what's come through my life either. But it's not the things that hurts us, but it's how we respond to things that makes the difference in our service for God. A lot of people have dealt with things in their life and they just gave up, quit, and God set them on the shelf. Others have gone through the same thing, as we'll finish reading in a moment, and they used it as a stepping stone to grow in faith and love for the Lord. So things will have an impact on your life. They will change you, either for the better or for the worst. Now notice what Paul says. These things have happened unto me, which have happened unto me, have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now listen, it's easy to sit on a church pew and claim and shout glory, hallelujah, God's sovereign, and then come unglued when things come into our life that we don't like. Amen? That's why. Now what did Paul say? Notice, so that in verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see, Paul took these things that came into his life, glorify God, set an example of what God can do, and other people received encouragement to take a stand for God also. These things. How many of you have had things come into your life within the last 6 months? I imagine we all have. Let me give you some things, and I'll read from my notes here. And you can go over and read sometime 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was betrayed. He was hated. But he says what? He says, all these things have happened to me that I might would be able to manifest the power, the grace, and the glory of God to others. Might we also able to see Jacob? Now, I want you to listen to this. Genesis chapter 42, verse 36, and I'm going to read from my notes. We know what has happened, and we see here, and Jacob their father said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Big difference between him and Paul, isn't it? Sometimes, if we're not careful, when God permits things to come into our life, we'll take our eyes off of God. Amen, and we'll put them on things. That's one of those things that will come into our life that will trip us up. God will never put more upon us than we're able to bear. But God will always, with that which he permits to come into our life, he will give us the grace to glorify him if we lean upon him and stayed focused upon God instead upon things. Has anything happened to you in the last 6 months that you would like to erase? What is God trying to do? He's working in your life, and he'll either make it, these circumstances, these things, will either make you bitter or they'll make you better. But they won't leave you where they found you. Mark chapter 10. I want you to turn and read this. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 32. They were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. Things come into our life, don't they? This is a reference to the crucifixion and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was going to die on the cross. These were the things. This is that which he prayed. Father, if it be possible, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Sometimes things come into our life, and we begin to pray, Lord, remove them. And sometimes God does not desire to remove them. He wants us to learn from them. Look at the Apostle Paul, the thorn in the flesh. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, I will much more glory in the power of God and my weakness, that the power of God may rest upon me. A lot of times in our life as a Christian, we're more concerned about the circumstances rather than learning what God has for us to learn in our life. These things, all the things that happen to us, we would not necessarily agree with, would you? We would never choose. We would choose the good stuff, a happy marriage. We would choose the birth of a healthy child. We would agree and approve of a promotion and a pay raise. We love those things that come into our life that are good, that we like, but everything that comes into our life is not good. Sometimes there's an unhappy marriage. I had a phone call from a church member that at one time had been a deacon in Texas, been married for 45 years. Finds out one day their $250,000 house had been hocked up to its highest. The CDs had been cashed in. The stocks had been sold. The insurance that she needed for her going blind had been canceled, and her husband had ran off with a nurse that he had met in the hospital. How do you comfort someone like that? But you know what? If we're not careful, we'll start questioning God, won't we? God made a mistake. Now, wait a minute! God is sovereign even when things come into our life that we don't like. He's permitted it. He's permitted it. How about an unhealthy child? Boy, that's devastating. Never forget a family down in Alabama. They had prayed for a baby, and finally God gave them a baby. Some of the organs were on the outside of the cavity. The fingers were deformed. The feet were deformed. I went down to preach for him, and I'll never forget. The mom took that baby. I opened the blanket and said, Brother Larry, look. And there she opened it up, and she was just as proud of that baby as any mother in the world would be. Some people would say, Brother Larry, how? She took an opportunity that we would say, how? And by God's grace, she carried a wonderful blessing of the Lord. You see, sometimes we're so busy looking at things, we forget to get God. Forget God. We're looking for the good things. And let me give you something. Just because we're saved doesn't mean bad things don't come into our life. It's a bunch of foolishness to think that when you get saved, you're going to be rich and everything's going to be fine. That's not even in the Bible. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to the children of God. Bad things happen to people that are dedicated to the work of God. And I'll get to that in a moment. Sometimes it's a loss of a good child. Sometimes it's a loss of a child. One of the most tragic things I ever had to deal with as a pastor, y'all may know them, of Ray Gibbs. Y'all remember that incident when Ray Gibbs' little girl got killed on the way from Lexington, Kentucky? No, from Detroit. Came up here for a conference. They were going back, tire blue, a little beautiful, dark-eyed, long, black-haired girl got thrown. She died down on the side of the road. Man, it changed her life forever. Bad things happen. He had surrendered to preach. He was working in the church. How about a loss of a parent? We don't look for those things. I want mom and dad to live forever. And by the way, some of you are aware that mom had a stroke. The doctor gave her 12 to 18 hours. It's been over 3 months, and the doctor's scratching his head, and hospice is scratching their head. And hospice nurse told me a couple of weeks ago, said, Larry, said, take your mom out to eat whatever she wants. The paralysis are gone on the left side. She's eating like she wants. She's talking like she wants. And the doctor finally agreed God did something about this. Isn't that something? It's amazing how the world gets all tied up sometime. How about the loss of your health? Some of the most tragic words a person can hear is the word cancer. Just sends a chill up your spine, doesn't it? Cancer. We don't ever want to hear that. But it happens. Sugar diabetes, Alzheimer's, and the list could go on. But most of us are not wise enough to know what we really need. But we all know what we want. God knows what we need, all right? That's where faith comes in. It's when we don't understand the things, we're still able to trust in God. When we don't understand the whys and the how comes, God still is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's still sovereign. Some of the things that happen to us are because of poor decisions. Okay? Some things happen because of poor decisions. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 23 says, "Because you have burned incense, because you have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in His law, nor in His statutes, nor in His testimonies, therefore this evil is happened unto you as at this day." For every decision we make in this life, there will be consequences.
Amen,
young people, you have listened. I want you to listen real well. I've got a scar right there on my thumb that I got when I was 4 years old. Ran out the door to the milk truck, dropped a jug or a quart jar of chocolate milk. It broke. I cut my thumb. I still got the scar. Young people, you can make decisions on your own will, your own desire, or your own lust, your own thinking, and you'll carry the scar. If it's not according to the will of God, you'll carry a scar for that wrong decision the rest of your life.
Amen.
Don't blame God.
Amen.
For reaping what you sow.
Amen.
A lot of people say, "Oh, me, pray." I've heard parents say this. "I don't know what happened to my kid. I don't know what happened to my kid. He just grew up and went as wild as March hare." Mom and Dad set the example. My heart goes out to the young people, because the young people, in many cases, I don't want to be meddling, I'm not going that far, but one of the biggest reasons that I found in my research on dealing with young people, that the younger generation is fleeing churches like ours, is because they've seen hypocrisy on church pews and they want something that's real.
Amen, brother.
I can tell my joke. You can't roast the preacher at home and have your kids to believe what he preaches when they don't agree with him.
Amen.
Now I get to tell him a joke. Little boy was going out to church one Sunday morning. Looked up to the preacher and said, "Preacher, can I come down off here?"
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't know. I can't touch the mic. I didn't know if I could touch the floor or not. Wanted to just check. This little boy goes out the front door one day and he looks up to the preacher and said, "Preacher, when I get older and get a job, I'm going to give you some money." And the preacher said, "Son, what are you talking about?" He said, "When I get a job, I'm going to give you some money." He said, "My mom and dad says you're the poorest preacher they know, and I want to give you some money." Listen, parents, you can't run down the man of God when he's preaching the truth because you don't like what he preached and expect your kids to believe him. A lot of things that happens in our life that we don't like, as the old Tennessee slang was, when the chickens come home to roost. You reap what you sow. When you make a decision like Lot did, when he looked up and he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan, he made a choice. He made a choice that not only affected him, it affected his entire family. He lost it all. That's why it is important, someone has already said. That's why it is important that when you make a decision, you better pray about it. You better study the Bible to make sure that what you're doing is according to the Word of God, because your decisions not only affect you, they affect the things that come into the lives of your children.
Amen.
"These things have happened unto me." You make choices. Look at Lot, as I said. And I've often wondered, how many was it that Abraham negotiated with the Lord that he would have spared the whole city? Was it 10? Now let me see if I get it right. We know he had two daughters. And let me tell you something. I do believe Lot was a saved man. I can prove that in the Bible. God got him out before the judgment came. But he was a disgrace to grace. And I preached that over at Brother Jerry's. He was a literal disgrace to God's grace. He, his wife, two daughters, and it says, and his sons-in-laws, plural. So we know there was at least two sons-in-laws and two daughters. So that's at least 8. If he had won his family, that whole city could have perhaps been spared. Choices. We reap what we sow. The Bible says, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh what? Reap corruption. Jonah. He made a poor decision that was not in obedience to the word of God. He got in a well of a problem because he spent 3 days and 3 nights in the well hotel sleeping on foam blubber and eating seaweed salad. And you know what? You listen. And I believe this, that as a child of God, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Amen. Don't blame God when you did it your way and you have to reap the consequences of those decisions. These things have happened unto me, and I'll repeat this later. But even then, God will provide grace and strength and help when we repent and go back to the Lord, but we will still carry the scars. These things. That's why it's so important, parents. That's why it's so, and man, so many cute little girls and cute little boys, and I tell you what, these younger, older kids, I enjoy watching them kind of, I heard one of them said, well, she didn't talk to me. You know, that's awesome. I like that. Been there, done that, and do it again, wouldn't we? I would. But I tell you something. Parents, the greatest investment you've got is not your full 3B or your 4K. It is your children. That's it. You may die as poor as Job's turkey. And my mom, if she had died and she's still living, my mom and dad never had a whole lot of stuff, but they got two Baptist preachers. That's a good investment, in my opinion, because they made choices. Parents, don't ever underestimate the importance of raising your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And don't be a hypocrite. You live the example before them. Because if you don't, one of these days, instead of stepping on your feet, they'll be stepping on your heart. These things. Some things happen. And young people, listen. Divorce starts in the dating days. You date the wrong purpose, a wrong person for the wrong purpose. You better spend more time in prayer than you do in flirting. And you better set standards before you start, because the hormones kick in, and the next thing you know, you've made a decision, as has been preached, based on lust instead of true God-given love. Don't blame God on reaping the consequences of what you sow, because it will happen. This is Bible. Again, go back to Lot. He looked. He liked. He made a choice. He liked what he saw. Never once did he consult God. Never once did he seek the leadership of the Lord. Never once did he go and seek advice from his uncle. He looked, he saw, he wanted, he went, and it cost him everything that he ever had. But I like what happened after Lot left. And in my understanding of the Bible, it was after Lot left that Abraham was actually where he was supposed to be when he left the Ur of the Chaldees. He said, leave your whole family, didn't he? But he brought Daddy and Lot. But when Lot left, then the Lord says, lift up your eyes and look. See, sometimes we lift up our eyes and we reap consequences. But when God lifts up our eyes, we reap blessings. Amen? And let me give the positive side. Just as we reap the consequences of disobedience to the Word of God, we'll reap the blessings of obedience to the Word of God. It may not be easy. Jen and I did not realize how difficult our young people had it, and I'm sure up north it's different than it was down in Tennessee. But I tell you something, man, time's getting away. But the thing is that when we went into these kids, ninth graders is where we subbed most of the time. You know what these kids were looking for? Somebody to care and talk to them. It became a ministry for Jen and I. And we'd go home sometimes and her heart would be so broken because the home. Now, let me give you this. Young people, listen to this carefully. Remember all these young people that made the pledge to purity until marriage? It has now been proven there's more sexually transmitted diseases among that group. There's more promiscuousness among that group than it is those that never take the pledge. It's not what you make a promise to do that makes the difference. It's what you promise to do and then do it. Parents, you need to realize that you've got an obligation to your children. I have admitted, I blew it. I do not consider myself. I wish I knew when my kids were at home what I knew now. But you know what? It's not the preacher's fault that I had. It's mine because it's been in the Bible the whole time. I just didn't read the instructions. Don't get mad at God because you reap the consequences of your choices. When you get away from God, the church, the truth, you're in for trouble. That's it. Now notice also, man, let's get going. Find out where I'm going to pick up and go on. Some of the things that happens to us are because others that we're connected to. You know that? Lot was blessed as long as we was with Abraham. But when he got away from Abraham, and let me give you this, even when Abraham and his family and all of his stuff was hauled off by the kings, he didn't have enough sense to see that God was dealing with him. He came back home and still went back to the pit. Man, some people don't learn, do they? Now again, some of the things happen to us because of others that we're connected with. Things happen to wives because of their husbands, and things happen to husbands because of their wives. Things happen to parents because of their children. Things happen to children because of their parents, and so forth and so on. We see in Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul was in a shipwreck because the captain wouldn't listen to him. We see in Genesis chapter 37, verses 4 and verses 37, that Joseph, some things happened to him because of his envious brothers and because of Potiphar's wife who lied about him. These things happened to them because of other people. Do you know what? I'll look at those later. But I want you to notice, you be careful who you make your friends with. Amen. Our best friends should be brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. My best friend is my wife, as someone said earlier. But I tell you something, our best friends, you better be careful. It won't be long that if you run with the wrong group, no matter how old you are, it won't be long until some of the stink will rub off on you. So things happen. And then on the other hand, man, it's been good this week, right? We've been here, good singing, good fellowship, and so we've been blessed because of others, amen? So there's a positive side to that. Not only the negative, there's a positive. Then we go through some things by divine appointments. Joseph, I like this. Look in Genesis chapter 50. You've got to go back and read this. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Oh, I like this. this. Some things happen because God has so appointed them. Look at what happened in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Let's go back and get verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God." I'm in the place of God. "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God..." What verse comes to your mind when you read that? "For we know that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord." Sometimes God puts some things into your life because He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. And He's got better things for you to do in His work. And you need to exercise your faith. You need to learn to depend on the Lord. And the thing is a lot of times as Christians we have all of our knowledge here, but we don't have it here. Jen and I were down in Texas. We knew the Lord led us down there. Got down there, and after a little while, the treasurer told me, said, "Preacher, if the church don't grow, y'all will starve to death." 13 hours from mom and dad and four kids. If you don't, you know, the church don't grow, you'll starve to death. Well, it didn't happen, but anyway, I'll never forget. One night, our daughter had been sick. Jan called the doctor and said, "Look, we can't come in. We don't have the money. Can you call in a prescription?" He said, "Yeah." So he called in a prescription. Now listen, this is not a sob story. I'm glorifying God because it grew my faith, okay? No food in the cabinets. I mean, not even a hot dog. No food in the cabinets. A daughter that was sick. No money in the bank. And let me give you this. We hadn't blown it, money. We had not blown money either, okay? You can understand this, brother. You're talking about Wally earlier. We didn't blow our money. We was frugal. 9:10, man knocked on the door. Said, "Brother Larry, God laid it on my heart. Here's $125. You know what God happened? God knew that we needed to learn you can depend on Him. We took the money, tithes and offerings. That's got to go first. Got a daughter's prescription. We had money for groceries, and we had a time shouting, thanking God, because some things come into our life that we might learn He's God. He's God. And if you don't ever go through the valleys, you'll never get to experience what God can do. A lot of head knowledge, but I tell you one thing, we saw God answer prayers. We could go on and on and on. Doctor gave her wife, gave Jan, she had cancer. Doctor says she's got 2 out of 100 chances to make it 5 years. 3 years later, she had another cancer. The doctor didn't give her any chances then. But she looks pretty healthy to me. And you know what one of the doctors said? "Y'all sure must have been praying a lot." Who got glory? Who gets exalted? That's when God becomes real to us. It's good to hear a preacher preach it. It's good to hear someone cry out, "God is sovereign." But it's another thing when you see His sovereignty come home and say, "I'm still on the throne and I'm in charge." Practical application. It's good to know theology, but it's good to see God in action. And we should never have to live off of someone else's blessings. We should be able to live on our own. Sometimes some things come into your life that God has said, "Hey, they need to grow a little bit." Look at Job. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Now, I tell you what, I wonder if the Lord has ever recommended us to the devil. "Have you considered Larry Ellis?" He said, "I know him well." Don't laugh, you're probably as guilty as I am. But you know what? You have to read just about the whole book before you realize God permitted, did you hear? God permitted Satan to test Job. Because Job had a problem buried deep inside. Pride. Amen. You ever heard the little chorus, "He's still working on me"?
When he quits working, he's through with you. So when God permits things to come into your life, two things I say. Number one, say, Lord, if it's sin, reveal it to me that I might would confess it, that I might would stop it. But Lord, if you're testing my faith, give me grace to stand. Amen. Let me grow. God does not socially promote. When God gives you an exam, you either pass it and grow and go on, or you flunk it and he gives it again and again and again and again. And after a while, we finally say, Lord, help me to pass this test. I'm tired of taking it. Just let me go on, Lord. Some things are by divine appointment. Romans 8:28, Joseph said, for all things work together to the good of those who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And I'm going to throw this in and keep going. Did you realize a lot of people would have bailed out when he got sold by his brothers? I wonder, what would have happened had he got bitter, angry, befuddled, disgusted, and kept blaming? Look at those. Yeah, look at me. Dad loved me. And by the way, I think he had a little pride problem too. Look at my coat. Y'all don't got one. Now that's good English, isn't it? Yeah, Kentucky. No, that's Tennessee. But the thing is, all the way across, he lived godly. He got sold into Potiphar's house, and even the house of Potiphar was blessed because of his presence. Listen, it's easy when things happen to get a bad case of the mully grubs. You know what that is? A moaning and groaning and griping, complaining, and God says, get out of the way. I'll raise up somebody else. Guilty. Because in the valley, it's easy to take our eyes off of God. And in the valley, it's easy to forget that God's in charge. And in the valley, we forget that God is sovereign because we're fixed on things instead of on the Lord. What did Joseph do? He just kept right on. And then the woman lied about it. And you know what he could have done? Nobody would know. God would. He would. And he ran for his life. You say, but he still went to jail. But God was with him. Amen. What's that old song? If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It's easy to say that when you're in church like this. Amen. But that's the fact. The things that happen to us, listen, the things that happen to us never give us permission to backslide on God. The things that come into our life, and you can generally tell when someone's beginning to backslide. They'll evade the preacher, they'll evade church, they'll evade church members because they feel condemned. Just because you're going through something in your life does not give you a time out. In fact, it should be that which would draw you closer to the Lord. And say, oh God, I need you. Lord, I need to feel your presence. I know you're there. Lord, help me. We was in South Korea. So those of you who knew the reason we came back to the States, Jan was pregnant. We did not know that. And this verse became very special to Jan and I. Everything in her life had been turned upside down. Jan was pregnant. Doctors told us that somebody was going to die, either Jan or the doctor, or Jan or the doctor. I hope he didn't die. But either Jan or the baby, didn't know if it was a girl or a boy back then, and said there's one of them's going to die. I mean, period. Somebody's going to die, most likely both of them. But if the baby lives, it's going to be very, very afflicted. Man, you're talking about being alone. Halfway around the world and just she and I, two boys. Even my dog got sick. Now, that was bad, Brother Jerry. I'll never forget, Brother Paul Kirkman sent us a little cassette tape. And he had on that tape, One Day at a Time. And you know why he was such a blessing to me? Because he'd been there, done that. And he said, "This is Paul Kirkman." And he went on and said a bunch of things. Then he said, "Read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. You know what it says? "And everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It's hard to give thanks when your world is turned upside down. But we're supposed to, because God's God. It don't have to make sense. Just do it. I'll never forget. Jan and I was out in the front yard with our great old big 8-foot walls with spikes on top of them, lonely, scared, uncertain about what the next several days, several months, would hold. In the front yard, we bowed our head. Said, "Lord, we don't understand this. Here we are, 20-something-year-old, scared to death. But Lord, the Bible says to give you thanks." And we said, "Lord, thank you for what we're going through. You've got a reason. You've got a purpose. And you're God." That day, things started getting better. Jan goes to the hospital to have the baby. I couldn't go. Over in Korea, if you left your house vacant for 10 minutes, it was vacated. When you come back, everything you had was gone. So she went, the doctor called me. He said, "The baby will be here in about 20 minutes. I said, "How's my wife?" "Oh, she's fine." He called me back in about 30 minutes, and he said, "Well..." I said, "How's my wife?" "Oh, she's fine." My thoughts, "Oh no, the baby's dead." I said, "How's my baby?" He said, "Oh, she's a little girl." I said, "Does she have 10 fingers and 10 toes?" And said, "She's a perfect picture of health. And all things give thanks." Amen. You see, I don't believe that tale. God, I didn't write it. Amen. Just sometimes we need to thank God for what we're going through, because He knows what's best. And my mom used to think castor oil and orange juice could cure anything. It ruined a good glass of orange juice, that much I know. But the thing is, she thought it was good and she gave it to me. I grew up and realized my mom was wrong that one time. While things are happening to you, learn to depend on God. Your friends may fail you. Your family may fail you, but God never will. Let me give you this quickly and I'll conclude. While things are happening to you, do something for someone else. Amen. Let me give you the verse. Psalm 84, verses 5 through 6. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the way of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." Now the word Baca means sorrow. So what are you to do? When you're going through the valleys of difficulties, look around. There's always someone worse than you. Go minister to them. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our things that we forget others have got things too. Remember when Peter denied the Lord? He said, "Peter, you're going to deny me, but I prayed for you. And when you come through it, do what? Strengthen the brethren." Amen. Sometimes when you're going through the valley, find somebody else and tell them what God can do for you, for them. Last point. While we're going through your immediate situation, never forget, we're not home yet. Amen. We're not home. God is still working in our lives. Even if it's because of choices and decisions we've made, God can take that and use it through us for His honor and glory. Some of you here probably made mistakes If you could go back, we all would go back and erase things that we've done. But we can't. But even then, God will enable us to keep on keeping on. Nothing will keep you from heaven. One day you will lay down your cross and pick up your crown. When you're going through what you're going through, just remember, one day it'll be over. And remember the old song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." Amen. Things are going to happen, folks. Amen. And how you deal with them will determine your spiritual growth. It will determine, even in your children, it will determine what their opinion of God and the things of God are all about. If God is able to save our souls and take us to heaven, He's not going to abandon us while we're going through this life. May God bless His Word.